Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. In this, the second of a two-part interview about the politics and development possibilities in Mendocino County, specifically the north end of Ukiah, where a large shopping center is proposed, we'll be talking with Frank McMichael and Richard Shoemaker. Both of these men were members of the Ukiah City Council and representatives of the Ukiah area on the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. Frank McMichael served a one-year term, and Richard Shoemaker served a two-year term. They served consecutively, ending in 2005. In this edition of Radio Curious, we'll be discussing what the legal requirements are for the construction of a shopping center at the north end of town by Developers Diversified Realty. At this point, they're proposing a 700,000-square-foot shopping center with 3,800 parking places and approximately 28 restaurants. We begin with the discussion of what Mendocino County must do to meet the legal requirements for the zoning change that would allow this process. Well, let's talk about the possible development at the old Masonite property just north of town. What are the steps that must be completed by the various government agencies before this project can begin?
We'll start with they need to go through a rezoning process. And actually, they could use that property zoned industrial and use use permits to do retail on it, but the rezoning process is the most basic step. And currently, that's being done within the Ukiah Valley Area Plan rather than an independent process that would be normally done by an applicant.
Well, let's stop right there. Being done by the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, who's doing it and what does that mean?
Well, within the Ukiah Valley Area Plan, which is a general plan for an area of this valley, the County Board of Supervisors has determined that they would study the conversion of the Masonite property from industrial to a retail use or retail zoning.
What does a study mean?
That study basically will talk about traffic issues, environmental issues, issues of other service. It should address things like water. It should address things like economics, but won't necessarily.
Are there topics that need to be studied that are subtopics to environmental issues that you mentioned?
The proposed rezoning is one of the choices within the area plan, which is included in the environmental review document, the EIR. And so that study, if properly done, will address all of the issues that could have potential environmental effect. And that would be things from traffic to air quality to water issues to effects on other agencies, effects on neighborhoods, and so forth. If not properly done, then it won't deal with some of those issues.
Well, that's a big question, if properly done. How is it done?
Well, it's usually hire a consultant to perform that and give direction as to the expectations of that process, view some input hearings, which have occurred at various times, and view solicitation of input from agencies and the general public. And at some point in time, that individual or firm goes away, creates a document, brings it back for review by a public review process, which would include both individuals and agencies and hearings on the Board of Supervisors.
Well, right now, an agency headed by a man named Leonard Charles has been hired to conduct the environmental impact report within the Ukiah Valley Area Plan.
Correct.
And he's in the process of gathering information.
Correct.
So the information that he is in the process of gathering, that's assigned to him, the topics, they're determined at some level. level by the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA as it's known. Are there additional topics that are assigned to him by the Board of Supervisors?
Could be.
Or any other group, LAFCO, for instance?
There are nine mandatory areas that a CEQA document, an EIR, must cover. And then there are additional areas it can. As an example, it's not required, but a area within the CEQA document could be for water management issues, water study issues, water conservation issues. I think the board chose not to include that in the CEQA document.
Why do you think they made that decision?
I'm not clear.
Do you think that was a proper decision?
No.
Why?
Because I think we're at a critical juncture with water in this valley, and it is primary that we understand our water issues before we go forward with any major development.
Richard, your take on Frank's answers?
Well, I think that's accurate. I think the other element that won't be included is an economic study, and I think our Attorney General has started to, if I'm not mistaken, push on issues like that. CEQA has been typically about environment and impacts for air and transportation and so forth. But community impacts are things that haven't been appropriately done, and I think the county has gotten information through their UVAP process about the impacts of this, of a development like this, in an economic study done for the county that needs to be examined further.
Well, in this case, the supervisors had the opportunity to include water management as one of the elements in the environmental impact report. And since they haven't done it, I can't imagine it will be studied by Leonard Charles and group. What role, if any, do the citizens have to require or petition the supervisors to study water management?
Let me begin by saying that Leonard Charles, when he does the environmental review, is not going to study the issues, I think, in the sense that you mean it. Mm-hmm. What he's going to do is going to review existing studies and compile that information and put it in a CEQA document. And if there have been inadequate or incomplete studies, then you'll have inadequate or incomplete information. One of my particular arguments from a LAFCO perspective has been that the lack of understanding, as an example, about our groundwater in this valley is a critical issue. There have not been ever any complete studies. There have been some top-of-the-head kinds of studies that indicate, well, it could be maybes, but no one has actually gone out in the field and verified that kind of information. That won't be in the CEQA document.
The fact that there's been no verification won't be in there.
The fact that there's been no field studies, the fact that we truly don't know what the actual storage of our groundwater aquifer is, we don't know what the depletion levels are, we don't know the level of contamination, we don't know any of those things because we have not done those kinds of studies.
You know, there was a comment made at the Board of Supes of why this worst-case scenario is being studied, and it was stated that the MSRs of this valley, municipal service reviews, which are done with LAFCO, by LAFCO, they're not done. So I want this bad scenario studied so that we get that. And Leonard Charles said to the board, I will be not giving you more than the information available. I will not be studying what the MSRs would study. So to some degree, I think there's been a misconception by the board of what they're going to get out of this.
Well, water is fairly critical, and the lack of this information is fairly critical in terms of the future of the water to which we will either have access or we won't have access. What can be done, if anything, to require that these studies be completed before the Ukiah Valley Area Plan's environmental impact report is presented to the Board of Supervisors for discussion and adoption?
One way to answer that is in approximately a year plus ago, maybe 18 months, I provided an interim report to the commission regarding water issues in the Ukiah Valley and Russian River watershed. That commission approved that report unanimously. with Commissioner Delbar absent, Commissioner Wattenberger as part of that unanimous approval. In part of that interim report, one of the things it did say was that we needed that groundwater study before we go forward with any major development.
But the board still hasn't adopted that position.
The board has ignored that position, and they're not required to. There's no law that forces them to pay attention to that position.
But there is a law that if the, or at least a law in terms of court decisions, I think it's the No Oil case from the 70s, that says if the citizenry believes something is a significant issue and it should be brought forward and makes sufficient enough appeal to the governing body, they have to include it. Would that work for water, too?
I think that's clear an issue. I think the problem is that if the decision of the board to go forward on whatever basis they went and it doesn't meet those needs, then it becomes necessary to challenge that document at the point in time that it's published, both as a draft and if it's finally adopted through legal processes. And often, as you know, CEQA documents are challenged for those kinds of reasons. And my view of a CEQA document, especially if something is critical as the issues before us in the valley, is it ought to be as thorough and complete as reasonably possible, as opposed to having it challenged and then having to redo it.
Beyond the water issues that are not included in the pending report, are there other issues that either of you feel should be included?
Peripheral to the water issue is the expectation of the Ukiah Valley Area Plan and the county in general is that the services will be provided by some other agency, and those agencies will rise to that ability to provide.
That's an assumption.
That's an assumption, but all of their planning is based on that assumption, and with no critical understanding of the ability of these agencies to provide these potential demands for new services.
Well, this goes back to the Municipal Service Review issue. And 24 months ago, the Ukiah Valley Smart Growth Coalition presented a two-page paper to the Board of Supes requesting a number of different studies be done to ascertain sanitation, water, transportation, that those issues be studied further, so we did have a solid understanding. So that I would say that the citizens have, a number of them have made their wishes known to the board in regard to these studies.
Why do you think that the Board of Supervisors has failed to recognize these requests on the part of the citizens?
You know, divergent opinions, diverse viewpoints, implications of how they see the world, I suppose.
I think that the UVAP has been going on for so long, there's this want to get it done. And I do think there's a fear to find out what these studies might say. And again, I'm not in any of those five folks' heads, and there's been different people there. I think there's been a total at this point of six or seven.
But since the UVAP studies
started, I think there's been 10 new supervisors. But the most recent, you know, Hal Wagonette was there, and John came on after Hal.
John Pinches. The North County.
And then Jim was part of the last round. I was part of the first round of getting the first EIR started for the UVAP. I think there's kind of a pulling their eyes closed, the head in the sand in regard to a lot of the issues.
Keep in mind that City of Ukiah adopted its present general plan in 95, and in that process, which was a very large citizen committee of the valley, a citizen advisory committee, it's called, a CAC, and one of the things that came out of that and was probably the stimulus for the Ukiah Valley Area Plan was the need to plan for the valley, not just for the city. And so we've been in this process for an awful long time, but we don't seem to be making huge headway.
I'd like to say that the City of Ukiah has taken a position with the county to ask for these studies to be done and to proceed cautiously. The city has serious concerns about what may happen with some of these changes.
So who has standing, the right to sue or the right to demand that these studies be done if they feel they should be done by the Board of Supervisors and the supervisors have chosen not to do them?
I think any individual can if they want to do that. At the point that you have a published a document, then obviously you can go through the process of trying to publicly challenge it. At the point that it's adopted by the Board of Supervisors, then it requires a court challenge. And if you can demonstrate, my perception, if you can demonstrate a track record and a history of trying to get these issues engaged in the study process, and they were not, you probably raise the likelihood of a court agreeing with your challenge much more so.
From your position, Frank McMichael, as the executive director of the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, do you think that that adequate history of requesting these be done is met?
I think more so. I think LAFCO, both as the commission has sent letters and as I, as executive officer, Smart Growth, other agencies, any number of individuals have all pointed these kinds of issues out. So it's not for lack of trying.
You agree, Richard?
Yeah, I agree.
Well, then let's talk about the time frame. Where are we now, March 10th, 2008, on the continuum of the studies, the investigations, the preparation of the report, which hasn't been done yet, the public hearings before the Board of Supervisors, which are yet to occur, and adoptions, in relationship to the upcoming election in June and a runoff, if there is one, in November?
Well, the last I had heard was the EIR for the UVAP was to be out sometime in April or May, and I have not heard if that date has been shifted.
This is the Leonard Charles document.
Correct.
I believe that's correct. I haven't heard any changes in that for a while.
So let's assume it's out in April or May. It's brought before the Board of Supervisors a month, 2 months after that, perhaps? Is that?
Is there a 60-day review on it?
60-day review.
Then it goes to the commission.
Goes to the County Planning Commission.
I believe it will go to the county.
Probably will.
And then there'll be a period of time after that, I would imagine.
So if it's on schedule, comes out in April or May, there's a two-month period review by the County Planning Department, headed by Ray Hall.
I think that's the public requirement.
Public comment.
And I'd have to check on the actual.
And then it's reviewed by the County Planning Commission in a public hearing, where any concerned person can come and address the County Planning Commission. Is that right?
Yes. In this process, when it becomes a public available document and asks for input in response, now you're asking for a response to the document.
That's right.
And so it's critical that informed response is provided. Because if you don't provide whatever input you think is appropriate, then if you later want to challenge, you can't, because that wasn't if that item wasn't included on that point.
So the informed response can either be spoken or written, preferably written with detail.
Better written.
And that's given to the County Planning Department.
It would be given through, yes, they'll give you a response location to send your responses to, or you can provide them at the hearings that they'll have for this process. In all cases, when you have anything of note that you want to provide to a review process, it's far better to put it in writing. You can back it up with your spoken word at the hearings, but always put it in writing.
Do you anticipate a response from LAFCO?
Absolutely.
Would that be written by you as the executive director?
One of the charges that I have is to respond to CEQA documents.
And how about the board members of LAFCO? Can they respond with a contrary or minority opinion if it's different than yours?
They can. Well, first of all, if there's enough time frame for the time, I will bring that my proposed response to the commission. If not, I am authorized to respond as the executive officer from a LAFCO viewpoint. Individual commissioners can provide whatever level of response they think appropriate.
As can any interested citizen.
Correct.
Yeah, a portion of that response, too, is it goes back to the EIR consultant, and they have to analyze the questions and issues raised with those responses and how they fit within the current document. And if they're giving new information or new issues are raised, they have to address them.
So there's a fork in the road then. The Planning Commission hears the citizen response to the environmental impact report. If they approve it, it goes on to the Board of Supervisors. If they don't approve it, what happens? That's the fork I speak of.
I think it goes up to the board regardless.
Well, and I'll say that I'm not convinced sitting in this chair today that it will go to the Planning Commission, because the UVAP process and the general plan process for this county has been so altered from the historical ways it's been done in the past. And there's been so many different drafts of EIRs and zoning areas done and new processes done that I'm not sure that anybody's quite sure what the process will be. So I'll put a caveat on what I'm saying here today is I think the county needs to put out a schedule, a real clarification of what steps they plan to take.
Is the process mandated by law or optional according to the sentiments of the members of the Board of Supervisors?
As far as being before the Planning Commission, I think that it's, as Richard said, it's historically, it's typical that the Planning Commission provides review and recommendation up to the board.
But not mandated.
I don't think it's mandated.
Just as, I may be wrong, but I don't believe that the presence of a Planning Commission is mandated to each county in California.
No, it's not.
So they can appoint one if they want it, they can dissolve it if they want it, they can listen if they wish or not.
And all appeals of the Planning Commission decisions are to the board.
What time frame do you see then? If the Planning Commission has it, it would be there in the early summer?
Probably
summertime discussions?
Yeah, good guess.
If they don't have it, it wouldn't ever be there?
If they get it, it might be July, and then if there's an actual review and a comment period that has to be responded to, that might toss another 60 days on it. It's hard to say how long it would take Leonard Charles to respond to whatever comes out of this.
What this comes down to is who will be elected second district supervisor to succeed your successor, Jim Wattenberger, who would take office in January of 2009.
We have a very interesting situation in the second district now. Is Jim himself has identified as the hub of this decision. I mean, he said to people, there's two people on this side of the issue, there's two people on this side of the issue. I'm here trying to make a decision based on the stuff that's going to come back to me. We also have a supervisor that, in one sense, is not going to be accountable to the electorate because he's not running. And so that's a very interesting situation to be in for us at this point in time.
What sort of time frame do you see the Ukiah Valley Area Plan and Environmental Impact Report having between now and the end of this year, 2008, when we'll have a new supervisor?
Well, having in response to what, the election process or the community?
The likelihood of the UVAP being approved.
Getting to the board for a
getting
vote.
To the board for a final vote.
It's possible it could happen with the amount of time, and where there's the new supervisor would take their position in January of 2009, so that gives us basically 9.5 months of time for that to come to the Board of Supervisors.
I think all things being equal, it would be very difficult for it to be before the board for a final determination prior to late fall.
And if it is brought before the board and a citizens group feels it is incorrect, and perhaps even LAFCO if it feels it's incorrect, litigation could be brought, and that would put a stop to it.
Well, LAFCO wouldn't pursue litigation, most likely.
Beyond its authority, or it just doesn't have the moxie to do so?
It would be beyond its authority, I would think. Commenting and responding to these kinds of issues is part of our charge, but to challenge a decision of another agency, a planning agency, is not within the charge of LAFCO.
Well, Frank McMichael and Richard Shoemaker, I want to thank you both for being with us on Radio Curious. And somewhat quickly before we close, since we're short on time, two questions. One, Frank, what's the most important thing you've learned in the past year or so?
Before we started this program, Richard said, be brief, and I have to relearn that on a regular basis. And it has to do with listening more and speaking less, and even at my age, I still have to relearn that.
Can I ask how old you are?
65.
And Richard, what's the most important thing you've learned in the past year or so?
It's to put enough scope out on your anchor road so you don't break loose when the wind shifts. I was down in Mexico late last fall, and a couple of boats broke loose, and we went out and helped pull them back in and untangle them. So it's not related to the local area, but it was a very important lesson.
And how old are you?
I'll be 55 real soon here.
And Richard, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
I just completed Longitude, and I can't remember the author's name, but it's about back in the 17th and 18th century, folks trying to learn about longitude and the creation of the first accurate portable clock to help do that. It's quite an interesting book. It kind of takes astronomers and pits them against guys that make watches and clocks.
And Frank McMichael, an interesting book that you've read lately.
I'm in the middle of one called Coercion, which is about how we are manipulated by marketing, sales techniques, propaganda, those kinds of things.
Well, Frank McMichael, Richard Shoemaker, thank you both for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
I enjoyed it.
Richard Shoemaker and Frank McMichael were former members of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors. They were also members of the Ukiah City Council. Richard Shoemaker recommends Longitude, the true story of the lone genius who solved the greatest scientific problem of his time, by Deva Sobel. Frank McMichael recommends Coercion, Why We Listen to What They Say, by Douglas Rushkoff. This interview was recorded in the studios of Radio Curious on March 10th, 2008. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org. And the phone is 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.